Thank you. Like you said, I'm Madeline Wahlberg. I'm a master's student at Purdue University working with Dr. Roberta Lopez. And today I'm going to be talking about my project on the growth and development of poinsettia with reduced finishing temperatures and vegetative roots of heating. So a little background. As most of you know, holly poinsettias are grown from around August into December. And the finishing period that we're talking about is from October to December, when the short days are initiated and the plants begin to get their color. Since poinsettias are tropical plants, they clearly require greenhouse heating, especially at northern latitudes. And this becomes a real problem with increasing energy costs. Greenhouse heating is, in fact, 10 to 30% of operating costs for northern latitude growers, second only to labor in terms of operating costs. Clearly, with rising energy costs in recent years and for a long time, this decreases profitability of the crop. Since 1990, the cost of natural gas has increased 85%, and since 2000, it has increased 35%. Propane, we've seen a similar trend with increases of 135% since 1990 and 70% since 2000. Now, the price of poinsettia in this time period since 2000 has only gone up 12%, and so clearly the profitability of producing this crop is decreasing with these increasing energy costs. So why this is important? As most of you know, as you increase temperature, the rate of development, or the inverse of days to flower, will increase somewhat linearly to an optimum, then plummet after that point. Growers tend to try and stay in that linear range, and with increasing prices of fuel, they're trying to decrease those temperatures and air temperatures, but obviously that's leading to longer time periods in the greenhouse for those crops. Some typical ways of heating the greenhouse air that growers would use: unit heaters is very commonly used for heating the air, but also there's overhead radiant perimeter, radiant floor, under bench, and what I'm going to be focusing on today is this bench top root zone heating. So the concept of this, of using this heating system, is to lower those air temperatures, but provide the plants with enough heat at plant level by providing the root zone heating, create a microclimate to combat the delay in flowering. So the system I used was a series of rubber tubing on the benches with around 49 degrees Celsius water flowing through them. Each bench can be individually controlled for root zone temperature using a substrate probe. So the objective of the study was then to quantify how reduced finishing temperatures in combination with benchtop root zone heating influenced the time to markability, time to emphysis, bract area, and height of three red poinsettia cultivars. So to do this, we selected three poinsettia cultivars: Premium Red, Viking Red, Prestige Early Red. And these were selected based on early response rate, moderate to high vigor, and naturally large bracts, which has previously been found to be suitable for the reduced finishing temperature treatments. We transplanted plants on August 11th, pinched to six nodes after 14 days, began the short days using blackout cloth on the 1st of October, and began the root zone heating treatments on the 15th of October. So my four root zone heating treatments was in one greenhouse with reduced air temperatures to 19 day, 13 night, which gave us an average daily temperature of 15 degrees. And then plants were placed on benches with either no root zone heating, which we called ambient, 21, 24, 27 degree root zone heating. Or plants were placed in a separate house, which was our commercial control, with an air temperature set point of 21 degrees and no root zone heating. So the data I collected was initial upon treatment initiation, plant height, width, and perpendicular width. And then plants were monitored daily to record the date marketable when all the bracts were fully colored to give full rings of color, and date of emphysis when pollen shed was visible on at least one flower branch. Upon emphysis, I again measured the plant width, height, width, and perpendicular width, as well as bracts varying length and width for the two largest flowering branches. Throughout the study, I also collected various environmental parameters. So for each replicate, I had daily light interval measured with a single diode quantum sensor, greenhouse air temperature recorded using the pre-lit environmental control system, canopy temperature with these aspirated shields with a thermistor, medium temperature again with an enclosed thermistor, and plant tissue temperature with a wire thermistor injected into the growing tip of the plant. So overall averages from the time period of the treatments was, as we is shown here, clearly as we increased the medium temperature, which is what we were actually controlling, we had an increase in canopy temperature as well as an increase in tissue temperature, which is what we were expecting to see. And in our commercial control, we were controlling that greenhouse gas temperature to again have it hold it around 21 degrees Celsius. So now we'll go over some of our data. This is for Prestige Early Red, but I'm going to have all of them set up similarly. So we'll have week 4 picture on the top, week 7 on the bottom, and across we've got the ambient cool air temperature, 21, 24, and 27 degree root zone heating, and then the commercial control on the edge here. And for data, you'll see I've got numbers for my root zone, or letters for the root zone heating treatments, and those similar letters imply that there's no significant difference, and the asterisk you see will indicate a difference from the commercial control. So for this time to marketable, you can see that we did have a decrease in time to marketable with increasing root zone temperatures, although there was no significant difference between our commercial control and any of those root zone heating treatments, though the ambient cool air temperature took longer to reach marketable. Similar trend with amphesis, though our ambient plants never reached amphesis by December 10th when we terminated the study. And we found, in fact, for time to amphesis, we had a significantly shorter amount of time to amphesis for the plants under the 27 degrees of heating compared to the commercial control. For our change in height, we found that there was similar growth for the plants on the 24, 27 and in our commercial control. But the cooler, our cooler treatments grew significantly less. And for bacteria index, we found that with the reduced finishing temperatures, we did have a reduction in that bacteria index. And as you can see from this picture, though, it didn't necessarily relate to the amount of redness of the plant, but our numbers did show that we had smaller bract rings. So now we're moving on to premium red. Again, time to marketable, we saw that increase or decrease in time to marketable with increasing in temperatures. And again, no significant differences from the commercial control for the two highest root zone heating set points. Similarly for the time to amphesis, except this time we actually observed no significant difference from that commercial control, though there was an increase or a decrease in time to amphesis with the increasing root zone temperature. Change in height, though, for premium red, we had a decrease in growth for all plants under the reduced finishing temperatures. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, because some growers will be applying microfragulators to create compact growth. And in this regard, it'd be possible that we'd have more compact growth using this temperature regime rather than the standard high air temperature. But again, for bacteria index, we did have a reduction, though under the 27 degree root zone heating, we were able to recover a significantly similar bacteria index to the commercial control. And as you can see, really the 24, 27 and commercial control have very similar redness to the plant. Biking red, again, similar results. Increasing root zone temperature created a decrease in time to marketable. Similar results again for the time in thesis, but again we see that now in the 24 and 27 degree root zone heating, we do have a decrease in time to end thesis compared to the commercial control, which means these plants are actually maturing faster than with the higher air temperatures. For Viking Red, we actually saw no significant differences in our change in heights. The growth was similar. And for Bracteria Index, again, we have that decrease in refractory index with the reduced finishing temperatures. Although more obvious for this crop was what we seemed to observe was that there was more flowers, although they were smaller, and our refractory index was measuring the bract grain size. And although we had larger bract grains in our commercial control, we tended to have fewer large ones, whereas in our reduced finishing temperature treatments, we had more of the smaller grains, so we didn't actually count those, so this is just an observation that could be further looked into. So in conclusion, we had an increase in, with increasing reduced temperatures, we had a decrease in time to marketable and time to anthesis. Our height responses really were cultivar dependent on the premium red. All were shorter under reduced finishing temperatures where there was no differences in the Viking red. And our bracteria index was significantly reduced for most of the reduced finishing temperature treatments. But overall, again, if you can see it from 24 degrees, 27 in commercial control, we really had very similar, similarly marketable plants. So our recommendation for growers would be if you're using these reduced finishing temperatures, which you can do, if you can ensure that you can provide the plants with rhizome heating of 24 degrees or higher. So with that, I'd like to thank the Lopez Lab and everyone else that made this research possible. And does anybody have any questions? Yes?
Did you quantify the difference in energy savings between your conventional greenhouse temperature or model, the difference between conventional temperature and your lower temperature? So that'd be the first question.
Okay, the first question is whether we modeled the difference in energy savings. We did not do this experiment yet, but the previous research has shown how we've done with budding plants, shows that this system, as long as you weren't in the house for longer, and especially in cooler times, colder periods of the year, did give energy savings, but I did not quantify that with this experiment.
So the question part, second question would be, what is the cost? If you use a bench system, what's the cost per square foot of such an installation? And then once you do get the first answer, what would be the payback period?
I will need to look into that. That's a great question. Yes?
Is there any difference in the rate of or extent of pigmentation and maturity between the different rhizome temperatures?
That's also a great question. There's been studies that have shown like more vibrant colors at cooler temperatures, and we didn't do any kind of quantification of that. Though it seemed like the cooler treatments had like a deeper red, if that makes sense. But I mean, from the pictures, you don't really see that. So I don't have real data for that.
What is the convention control temperature?
21 degrees Celsius, air temperature, constant.
Similar on all locations or different from other?
Is
it fixed in all the growers or maybe different growers?
Different growers doing different things. I'm sure different growers are going to grow their plants slightly different temperatures, and especially with cold finishing kind of being, it's been promoted. Some growers are reducing those temperatures, but they are also experiencing delays. So we were kind of trying to get the kind of standard of getting plants to flower by market time, given the time period we started in, kind of, if that makes sense. Any other questions?
To confirm that soil temperature to 24 and 27?
Yes. So our air temperature set point on all those roots and heating set points was 19 day, 13 night, an average daily temperature of 15. So the air temperature was 15. I guess you don't want to know that, but it was maintained around 15.
So what part of the pond did you make the measurement?
Directly in the middle, parallel across. So we burned a hole in the side of it.